Everyone with a stake in the federal budget is looking toward December 11th. That's when the continuing resolution runs out, and Congress will have to decide what to do next. Beyond that, though, federal agencies are looking at two long years of a Republican Congress and Democratic White House. Will it be the immovable rock facing the irresistible force, or can good things still happen? For some insight, we turn to Don Kettle, professor at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy and longtime watcher of all things government. Don, good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning, Tom.
All right, so what are you expecting in the next 2 years? Let's presume that there will not be a shutdown because we've sort of beaten that dead horse this year. But there's 2 years of this kind of difficulty.
Well, there's 2 years there, and if you look in the crystal ball, which is about as cloudy as the weather this morning, to tell you the truth, so it's a little hard to tell for sure, but I've got a list of maybe five things to pay attention to. Suppose we get through December 11th, but for how long will Congress extend budget and the authority to spend? We may be going through these kinds of brinksmanship games off and on for a long time. So the budget's the first. The second is that it's clear that the congressional Republicans are going to have a long series of oversight hearings. Their goal is to try to embarrass the administration as much as possible, which really gets to a third point. Anytime they have a chance to be able to poke holes in what they think is a problem of managerial and administrative confidence in the Obama administration, they're going to be doing that. The fourth point is that there's a rising tide to try to not only fire more feds, but make it easier to try to replace people, move as much as possible to an at-will employment system that they've borrowed from the states. And then, of course, the fifth point is the presidential campaign is going to be in the background. And as the Republicans begin to position themselves, that's going to play a game that will reverberate back through Congress, depending on which candidates come out of Congress itself and how Congress itself tries to help or hurt its own Republican candidates who are out there now trying to stake out turf to run against whoever it is the Democrats might run, like Hillary Clinton, for example.
Yeah, well, probably lots of oppositional research going on right now. But I want to get to that point about firing more feds, because we did have that bill earlier this year to make it easier to fire senior executives at VA. And in fact, some of them have been let go under those authorities. You see this spreading in some way?
I think it is. And I think for two reasons. The first is that when you look at the VA and if you're Congress, there have been hearings already that have been talking about the problems of performance that the VA is having. Then Congress has said, well, we can allow you to hire more docs. But beyond that, the real challenge is trying to figure out what Republicans in Congress can actually do. And there's not a whole lot that they can do except turn the heat up, except to try to focus on making more and more feds at-will employees. There's been a lot of pressure from John McCain and others to say, we gave you authority to fire. Why aren't you firing fast enough? And that's something that members of Congress have latched on to, especially some members who are more conservative or are looking just for some kind of handhold on this issue. And then on top of that, there at this point, nearly 30 states that have moved to some form of at-will employment. That is being able to fire government employees at the will of those who supervise them. And that movement's bubbling up from the states. There's a lot of interest in trying to expand that at the federal level. And it's something that I can see expanding not only as a result of the VA controversies, but also perhaps in the presidential campaign. It's the kind of thing that makes for a good soundbite. It's something people understand. It's the way a lot of the private sector operates. And something that I expect will, at least on the rhetorical level, if not on the level of actual operations, be something that expands. That's something definitely to keep an eye on, I think.
All right. And I wanted to also talk about the political appointees operating within agencies as the sand is kind of slipping through the hourglass. What is the appeal of coming? I mean, there's a lot of appointments now pending before the Senate and probably some below the Senate approval requirement. But what is the attractiveness of serving at this point in an administration? And what are the good part? What's good about it, and what's something to be avoided about it?
Well, the problems are obvious at this point, the first of which is simply trying to get an appointment through and get it confirmed, and then trying to recruit people to come in to what's clearly going to be a very contentious environment. For people coming in, there are a couple obvious advantages. One is people who want to try to get that kind of political experience. It's an opportunity in the last years of the administration to be able to do that. But I've talked to people in the past, including in the Bush administration, who said, look, we've got now a year and a half, we've got 2 years, we've got an opportunity really to make an impact. There is going to be a lot of craziness on Capitol Hill, which means they're not going to have nearly as much time to pay attention to us and what we're doing. So there's an opportunity to fly below the radar a bit, to be able to really have an impact, and to focus on what it could take to be able to make particular agencies, particular programs actually work better. And for a lot of political appointees and for senior executives as well, when there's craziness on Capitol Hill, it actually provides opportunity. And the opportunity is to try to find ways of actually making agencies work better. And I've seen that happen in previous administrations. And it's a great opportunity for the Obama team right now, at least in those areas where there's not super intense legislative oversight, to really be able to move forward and make some difference. And there's a lot of area where government could really benefit from that leadership in the time that we've got left in this term.
We're speaking with Don Kettle. He's a professor at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy. And speaking further of senior executives, the president has agreed to meet with, well, technically all of them, although I don't think they can all fit in one room, or can they fly that far. But there's going to be a big group meeting with him. What do you think he should say to them, and what should they try to tell him?
You know, this is something that senior execs have been waiting for a long time, and I've seen some reports that suggested that upwards of 1,000 people have signed up within the first few hours when registration was open. This is something that a lot of execs are really looking forward to. What is it that the president should tell them? And the most important thing that he could tell them is that I've got your back, that this is a contentious and a difficult time, but that those of you who are out there on the front lines running the most important parts of the government's operation are doing some of the most important work out there. It's going to be difficult, but when it's difficult, I've got your back. And I think that they're looking for, the senior execs that I've talked to, at least, are looking for signals from the administration that they understand how important the operation of that government is, how important it is for the president's leadership to be there, and how important for the president to be able to provide the kind of political support that they occasionally need, at least, to make sure that they're not kneecapped and bushwhacked as they're out there trying to move some of this forward. That's probably the most important lesson he can communicate.
And what about the senior executives? What should they tell the president?
I think the senior executives are probably going to give the president an earful, in part saying, look, we've got this battle going on for at-will employment to try to make it easier to fire us. If you want to try to get higher performance, you've got to provide better security. You've got to provide better leadership. You've got to provide opportunities for us to be able to feed back into the West Wing and to OMB our concerns about managing the government. You've got to provide opportunities to make sure that the budget is more stable. And perhaps most importantly, you need to pay attention to management, what it is that we're doing. Because my guess is that the signals are going to be sent that they really feel wounded by the fact that it's not always clear that the West Wing is paying attention to government's operations. And that's been a problem for this administration from the beginning, and my guess is that the president is going to get an earful on exactly that.
And earlier you said that there are some areas maybe not quite in the spotlights that there is an opportunity to do some real improvement at. Any ideas in particular there?
You can really look around from one end to the other. We've got some interesting challenges on trying to modernize and streamline air traffic control. We've got questions about food safety. We've got the administration management of government contracts, not only in defense, but across the rest of the government. There's a lot of what it is that the federal government needs to do in terms of its day-to-day operations that managers have a great capacity for being able to move forward on. And perhaps the most important thing, as we're looking at the tidal wave of baby boomers are going to be retiring, is to try to improve the federal government's human capital system. And that's not only a problem and an issue for the Office of Personnel Management, which I think needs to do a stronger job of being able to figure out where we need to go, but for human capital managers throughout government, there's a matter of streamlining the road from the outside into government operations to try to make it easier to hire people, to be treating the people who are interested in federal employment more like people you want to have as your assets of the future. And then most importantly of all, trying to match up the skills that government needs to the kind of people who are out there looking for government jobs and making sure that we have a workforce that gets the job done. There's lots of opportunity for doing things. And in many of these cases, Congress is simply not going to be paying a lot of attention. So for the managers across the government who are in these positions of leadership, there's tremendous opportunity to be able to make important advances.
All right. Don Kettle is a professor at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy. As always, great to have you on.
It's so great to be with you, Tom.
Enjoy the warm weather today, too, by the way, as you mentioned in the beginning.
Well, we got it, at least until the snow comes.
Great day to be at College Park.